full of cinematic garbage. One man will be your filter. Welcome to Movies Worth Seeing with your host, Michael Piccinieri.
Hey everyone, and welcome to the OzCulture Podcast. I'm your host, Michael Piccinieri, joining you for another episode. Today's episode is a review that I probably should have done a couple months ago, but to be honest, I've gotten lost with a lot of reviews because there were a lot of movies that either didn't come out in cinemas or for whatever reason, COVID, just didn't get around to reviewing them. But anyway, we pull through. So this is F Cream or Scream 5. Yes, I'm not fucking calling this movie Scream 2022 because that is so stupid. And you know what's funny as well about that is that this film actually made the point to bring up the fact that sequels or requels, as they put it, these reboots, they like to just call themselves, have the same name as the original. It was similar with Halloween, but Halloween is a totally fucking, oh God, that franchise is such a mess. I feel bad for any reviewer that actually tries to look at the connections and try and connect it chronologically, because that franchise, isn't it fucked up that movie franchises do this? The more I think about it, they can make 5 sequels and then reach a point where they're like, you know what, guys? All those sequels were terrible. We're just going to ignore them, pretend they don't exist, and we're just going to make a sequel to the first film, the original. I mean, that's not really fair. That's not cool. But I suppose in some extreme circumstances, you've got no other choice because I don't know what Halloween did. I think they jumped the shark, as you would say in a TV show, to the point where they had to do that. Scream hasn't gotten to that point, you know, where it's got to reboot itself completely. But anyway, Scream 5, Scriff. This is 11 years after Scream 4. For those that don't know, the Scream franchise is about Ghostface. The franchise, it's a satirical look at horror films, and it blends horror and comedy really well together into this nice package of a whodunit kind of film where you're constantly wondering who the killer is. Most of the time, it's 2 killers, except for Scream 3. In all honesty, it's the worst sequel out of the Scream franchise. Its one claim to fame is that it only has 1 killer. Every other sequel has 2 killers, or even the original has 2 killers. I digress. Scream is about Sydney Prescott, played by Nev Campbell, and she is the main protagonist of the franchise. She's the final girl, stole our hearts back in the 90s, being the big star of this franchise. And her, Courtney Cox, and David Arquette have been in every sequel since then. They are a big part of the franchise, so going into this 5th film, it's always interesting to see how they're going to bring these characters back. For most of us Scream fans, I can't really picture this franchise without those actors. It is the franchise. It's like Halloween, Jamie Lee Curtis, although they did a whole bunch of sequels without Jamie Lee Curtis, but I guess that's why they had to reboot it, because they killed her off in one of the sequels. Oh my God. I've got to stop thinking about Halloween. Just thinking about that franchise drives me nuts. Anyway, bringing it back to Scream. Scream is like Wes Craven's baby. The famous director unfortunately passed away not long after Scream 4. So this would be the first Scream movie to be directed without him. And there's lots of little nods, and I think they even gave a little message saying for Wes by the end of the film. And I thought that was really sweet. They also named, there were some characters named after famous horror characters, and there was a character named Wes, which I thought was really cute. So yeah, Scream 5. The sequel was really good. I actually really enjoyed this sequel. I felt like this was honestly probably one of the best Scream sequels. Other than maybe 2, And to be honest, I feel like I'm a bit blinded by nostalgia. If I was to watch back the Scream films, I don't know what I would think. But Scream 2's always been pretty good. And then Scream 3 is where it gets pretty lackluster. That's when the killer's motivation doesn't make sense. They've pulled shit out of their ass as far as the backstory and changed it. Sydney's mom is now some hoe that was like in Hollywood and had this happen and that happened. Like, they pull shit out of their ass and you're watching it and you're like, what? The killer's like her brother? And I'm not going to put a spoiler alert because that movie came out like 20 years ago. So no one tear me apart about spoiling the killer from Scream 3, a movie that came out in 2000. But that's what I'm getting at. The killer, meh. Something happened. Scream 3 just wasn't very good. It took 11 years before another film would be made. And Scream 4 was pretty good. I don't know if it was well received. I remember when I was a kid in high school, I was like the only one pumped to see Scream 4. No one I knew at my age was like into those movies or knew about them. No one gave a fuck. But I enjoyed it. I thought it was really good. It had some great commentary on the horror franchise at that point, which personally I didn't really like where horror films were. I didn't like the horror torture porn of Saw. Of all those movies, I thought they were just fucked up. They were just gross. So yeah, Scream 4 was a bit of a fresh air. And then now this Scream 5 comes back and goes, all right, let's get into some of the cliches of horror at the moment. Which is interesting because horror, the genre, I feel, is completely in a different place to where it was when the last film came out. So I thought it'd be interesting to see how they evolve with the story. What tropes are they going to bring back? What tropes are they going to bring up, acknowledge, and avoid? And it was interesting to see certain things get brought up and then you'd think, oh, they won't do that. It's too obvious or it's been done to death. And they would. Interesting. Interesting. I'll say that. One thing, this film, Dewey, is great. David Arquette was awesome in this film. When he gets introduced in this movie, straight away, he's able to cut through the bullshit and just be like, you know, to the new main character. He's just like, this is what happens. Every Scream movie, main character, look at the love interest. There's always two killers. Something from the past is going to come back. It's all connected. And what was the other thing you said? Oh, look at your friends, and one of them is definitely the killer. So, the plot, like the original 25 years ago, we open to find a teenage girl at home alone when the phone rings. This guy calls her, wants to play a game. The ghost face killer has returned in Woodsboro, and it's up to the main character's older sister, Sam, who left home due to mental issues. It's up to Sam and her younger sister, Tara, to find out why Tara was attacked by Ghostface, what the goal is, why Ghostface has returned to Woodsboro, and all that jazz. So, and they then decide to enlist the help of Dewey and Gale Weathers and Sydney Prescott. So they all join the fray. One of the big things that I loved was just the amount of self-awareness from most of the characters in this film was so good. Like, every Scream movie has that to a degree, but I feel like here, the characters are like on another level of self-awareness to the point where I'm not used to seeing characters this smart in these type of movies. For example, there was a moment in this movie where two of the characters were necking on at a party and you think right away they're going to go have sex. Like, they're making out and you think they're going to have sex. But one of them, the male character, which was another shocker, since when does a guy ever say no to have sex? Anyway, the male character goes, no, can we not have sex? And the female character was like, oh, what's the go? And he's like, yeah, this isn't a good idea because if we separate, we're going to get killed. And I don't know for sure that you're not the killer. This was fucking comedy gold because that's so awkward. He doesn't trust his girlfriend and thinks she is the killer. So, he's actually got to say no to having sex with her at this party. And the thing that shocked me the most is movies nowadays, you think that's really stupid. Why would they have sex when they know the killer's around? Haha. But there are still movies nowadays that make this fucking mistake. Where two people were just like, oh my God, you know what turns me on so much? When people are dying around me, let's go have sex. I reviewed a film with Nicolas Cage, I think it was a year ago, called Willy's Wonderland. And it involved these mechanical toys that come to life and kill people. And in the movie, no joke, this couple that know that there are these killer fucking robots going around decide for no reason to go in a room and have sex, and they get killed straight away. That movie was released last year, and it still had that fucking cliche. So, it's good to see a movie acknowledge what a fucking dumb decision that is. There was a lot of moments in this film where just characters would do something like, oh, I'm going to go in the cellar by myself and not tell anyone. And then, surprise, there's someone else there. Why did you come down to the cellar by yourself when you know there's a fucking serial killer? And then the other character's like, oh, I guess I didn't think about that. It's just a lot of like moments of people calling each other out for doing dumb decisions between the friend group, which I thought was fucking hilarious. Yeah, like just recreating scenes from the original and subverting them so well. It was great to see. It was super meta and just really creative. That's what differentiates Scream. That's its biggest strength, is the meta kind of commentary and the satire. So, what I liked the most about this film is it manages to make some big surprises. Considering it's the fifth film, I think that's pretty cool. And it's carrying over stuff, unlike those other films, like when I mentioned Halloween, it's not doing a whole reboot where it just erases a bunch of shit that happened. It carries over and these characters have grown, they've changed, and we get to see that. The way they react to situations in this film is very different to how they would have reacted earlier in the franchise. And especially the legacy characters like Sydney, Gale, and Dewey are just so fucking switched on. They're over it. Except for one moment where Dewey really just does my head in with one of the decisions made. Other than that, most of the time the characters are fucking spot on. For example, Dewey lives in Woodsboro. He's talking to Sydney and he says, stay the fuck away from Woodsboro because people are dying. And Sydney's just like, yeah, no fucking way I'm coming to Woodsboro. Like in Scream 4, it wasn't done as well. The explanation for why these characters would still be in Woodsboro when this is such a traumatic place for them, where every kind of murder spree has happened in every one of the sequels. So, in this film, it's really refreshing for them to talk to each other and be like, guys, stay the fuck away. It's something so small, but I just thought it was pretty cool. The other great thing about this film is I feel it doesn't over-rely on those legacy characters. Like, it takes ages before Sydney even gets involved in the movie. And it's good because we're so far in. We know their backstories and stuff. Set up new characters, especially if you want to make more sequels, because then you're going to have to kill these guys off eventually. So, I thought that was really well done. I don't think this film is very different from the other films, despite the passing of Wes Craven. It feels like the two siblings, I believe, that directed this film. Oh, no, sorry, my bad. It's Matt Bettinelli-Alpin and Tyler Gillett. They don't try to like reinvent anything or outdo Wes Craven. And it's good. It feels like they're tonally matching Wes. Because being that this is the only film not directed by Wes, it doesn't seem that way. Which is, I think, pretty fucking cool. The other thing is the kills. While the kills aren't very creative in this film, I feel like they're fucking brutal. Like, you feel it. There's some very brutal kills. I think Scream 2, maybe Scream 4 had more creative stuff. Scream 3, I can't even remember any of the kills. So yeah, what it lacks in creativity, it makes up for with brutality. Even when characters aren't killed, just the brutalness of what they go through and survive is like, oh gosh. Jack Quaid is fucking great in this film. If you liked him in The Boys, you'll like him here. Overall, I felt there was enough here to justify its existence. This didn't feel like a cash grab like I've felt with other sequels. Scream 3, to me, feels like a cash grab. This one didn't. This movie also makes a huge decision, and it pays off. I feel it pays off. I feel like I fucking admired the shit out of this sequel for the bomb it dropped. And without spoiling it, I think that a lot of people will be like, yeah, makes sense to go that route. It doesn't feel undeserved. The decision felt right. It was done well. It helps this sequel stand out immediately. Now, getting into the bad or what I didn't like. I mentioned it, no memorable kills. In all honesty, I can't even really say to you what the kills are. Whereas, like, if you ask me Scream 1, Scream 2, like, I can almost list off the kills. Overall, I don't think this was as fun as the previous sequels. I feel like Scream 4 had a fun vibe to it. I think the fact that the legacy characters were involved quite early on and just, I don't know why. I don't know what it is about that film that's got this fun vibe. Scream 3 obviously has fun vibes because it's like in Hollywood. They're dealing with seeing the movie set from the first film because it's set. Like the set of Stab, which is like this fictional movie taking place that's based on what happens in Scream, is being shot, and that's where the kills take place. So Scream 3 had a unique setting, which made it more fun. Scream 2, the college campus, had a fun vibe as well. So yeah, I don't know what it is about Scream 5 that just doesn't give off that vibe. I think it might be the look of it or something. I think it's just not as funny. Yes, that's what it is. There's not as many jokes as the previous films. There's a lot of like self-awareness, a lot of meta-commentary, but not so much jokes. The intro of this film, for me personally, was not very memorable. While it did do something good to subvert expectations, maybe it was very hard to follow up the grand kind of opener of Scream 4, where it was like a movie within a movie and there was like two false starts where you thought it was the actual movie and it wasn't. So it was hard to compete with that. I felt like this film overall was trying to be a lot more serious. And I commend it because it didn't drag on, at least with the opener. It got quite quick into it. Another thing that was very interesting, they fucking still had a landline phone in this movie. What the fuck? Does anyone use landline phones still? I don't use a landline. Who the fuck? It's 2022. They make all this massive point to be like, oh yeah, we're new, we're modern, things are different now. We still got landlines. And I was like, fuck off, movie. No one's using that shit. And I don't know why either. It's one of those wireless landline phones. Why couldn't it just be a mobile phone, like an iPhone? I didn't get that. A lot of characters in this film, they feel like they're just there to die, and I get that. A lot of horror movies, you know, that's just the way it is. But I still remember characters from sequels of Scream being fun. I remember some from the previous film. The movie geeks are usually the standouts. I mean, Randy is obviously a standout. So just for this film to not really make anyone memorable, it's a shame. And the other thing as well, this has to be the only sequel where I did not believe that these guys were friends at all. Even the first movie, they say some fucked up shit to each other. But in this film, they are like, no one trusts anyone at all. There's no trust. I feel like everyone's very on edge, but I don't see these people being friends. Like, I honestly don't understand why they are friends. Whereas in the other films, I feel like it makes more sense. You can understand them, their friendship group more. There was a moment in this film where there was a kill that happens in broad daylight outdoors where anyone could have seen it, anyone could have taken down the killer. And it reminded me, there is a similar moment in Scream 2 when it happens in a van and Randy gets killed. And the film tried its best to try and cover up how someone would get killed at a college campus in broad daylight during the day. I don't know. I didn't like that kill in Scream 2. I thought it was bullshit then, and I didn't like it here either. You just think to yourself, you know, with the standards of horror movies nowadays, that's just not going to cut it. It's too bullshit. Melissa Barrera, her performance as the new main girl, she's essentially being built as the new Sydney, her performance was like very inconsistent. Like her line delivery and sometimes her emotions just aren't there compared to the actress playing her younger sister. She just looks checked out at times. And then other times she's like fully in it. I don't know, like her face is just not reacting to what's going on. And I just found it kind of distracting at times. Other reviewers have mentioned this too. They also introduced this plot line, the new girl that I just mentioned. She's connected to Billy, and the whole way they do that is fucking meh. It's just stupid. But this is a franchise that every sequel, it's just like even the last film, we never knew that Sydney had a sister, and then all of a sudden it was just like, oh yeah, she has a sister, and Sydney's cousin or whatever. Oh no, sorry, fucking, no, it's her auntie. That's right, the cousin. Okay, so in Scream 4, Sydney's cousin is like the new main girl, whatever. But the point is, a lot of the sequels have done this where they bring up something from the past and it doesn't make sense or add up because it wasn't planned, obviously. So this film was no different, but they also did something else different where they had like visions of Billy Loomis and it didn't make sense because Billy's a fucking serial killer. He's the villain of the first film. But he's trying to be like almost like a mentor, like, yeah, you guys go get him. And you're kind of thinking to yourself, why would this character have visions of him supporting her? He's the bad guy. He's the villain, the one that fucking started everything in this entire franchise. It was weird. Seeing the actor that played Billy in the first movie was pretty great, though. Not going to lie. That was cool. And similar to the other scene with Ghostface appearing in broad daylight, there was another scene where they're in a hospital and this entire floor of this hospital, there's no one. There's one cop who's then dead and we're meant to believe this whole wing of this hospital is just no one in it so that the killer can attack the main character's younger sister. And I was just like, what the fuck? Like, especially nowadays with hospitals, there's not going to be fucking no one in a whole level. It's just stupid. It was just one of those moments where I was like, okay, this just reminds me of old 90s horror movies where one minute there's everyone here and the next minute there's no one there. Everyone just fucked off all of a sudden. Like as if all the doctors were like, God damn, man, we got to go on break. Everyone go on break all at once. Yeah, no, doesn't work. And it was stupid. The other thing I don't like is this film actually acknowledged how stupid it is to call a movie after the original because it's a reboot. One of the characters is legit saying, oh, if it's Stab 8, why is it called Stab? If you guys know it's fucking stupid, why do you do it? I mean, this is a common thing with Scream though, so I don't know why I'm surprised by it. But Scream, the franchise, always does this thing where it brings up a cliche and then does it anyway. Just almost as if to be like, haha, we know it's stupid, but we're going to do it anyway. I never got it. Like, yeah, there'll be people like, haha, literal self-aware meta reference, cool. But you're still going to be fucking annoyed when you're like, oh, why isn't this movie popping up in my IMDb? Oh, it's Scream 2022. And then what are you going to call the next fucking 10 sequels? Is Scream 2 going to be Scream 2 2024 and then Scream 3 is going to be Scream 3 2026. Like, it's fucking stupid. Anyway, I will give Scream 5, I think I'm going to give it a 4 out of 5. I honestly think that this is probably the best Scream sequel. other than maybe two. Two is always going to be my favorite. Scream 5 was way more fun. This sequel, while it felt more serious and grounded, it also felt like it was the best at keeping me guessing as far as the killer and taking huge risks that paid off. And it didn't overly rely on the legacy characters, which was great. I think it was a satisfying ending. And while there are little bumps in the road, I think that this was a pretty good sequel. And honestly, after watching this, I want to revisit Scream now, which is one of the best things about when a new sequel like this comes out, is you can look on it fondly and be like, cool, that's awesome. Now I'm going to go watch the whole franchise again and compare. Then I'll, who knows, maybe I'll come back to this movie after watching all of them again and be like, ah, this is shit. Probably not. This was pretty good. But anyway, that's my review. So if you enjoyed this podcast episode, leave me a review and feel free to share the podcast. That is it, guys. I will love yous and leave yous. Take it easy. Bye.
Thank you for listening to Movies Worth Seeing. Make sure to like and share the show and leave a review. You can follow us on Instagram at Michael Pish Podcasting and watch movie reviews, audience reaction videos, and other fun content on our YouTube channel at Michael Pishinary.